One of the character flaws that I've had for many years is the tendency to be a people pleaser. The Bible calls that the fear of man. When we trust in the Lord, we do not need to fear man. We fear God only. And that was the example of Caleb. He was not afraid of what the other people were already saying, but he stood his ground, he was faithful, and he lived to please God.
You are listening to CCF Run-Through, Timeless Truths for Today's Life in just 30 minutes. If you want to hear more or know more about our ministry, please visit ccf.org.ph. Enjoy listening!
Can anybody tell me if you recognize this guy? Does anybody know who this person is? He flew many combat missions over Korea during the Korean War. And then later on, he became what they call a test pilot. He was the test pilot for this particular aircraft called the X-15. Now, I used to watch the X-15 on TV when I was in grade one, okay? But amazingly, this is a hypersonic aircraft. And so this guy had such a sense of adventure that he took it upon himself to become a test pilot despite the great risks. And I'll tell you who he is if you don't already know. His name was Neil Armstrong. At the age of 38, became the first man to walk on the moon. So he was an instant rock star. But after the whole, the noise and the pomp and the circumstance was over, he led a very quiet life. He was teaching engineering at university, but he never lost his sense of adventure. Because fast forward to 2005, when he was 75 years old, he was interviewed by 60 Minutes. And so 60 Minutes was checking in on him, how are you doing and so forth. And what do you do for thrill? I mean, you're 75, do you still have that sense of adventure? And very much so he did, because he said, well, this is what I do. Of course, this was in 2005. He says, this is what I do for fun. Flying gliders. So this guy never lost his sense of adventure. And we need to understand, when you're flying a glider, there's no engine. There's very little control. You're at the mercy of the wind. But you know what he said was, this is the closest to becoming a bird. Just like God created. But here's the thing. In that same interview, the interviewer told Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Armstrong, the U.S. government is thinking of a manned mission to Mars. What is your response to that? And you know what he said at the age of 75? When asked in a 2005 interview if he would like to go to Mars, Armstrong replied, I don't want to say I'm not available. Amazing guy. Quiet, unassuming, disarming smile, and yet for the long haul, he was an adventurer. The person we're going to talk about today is very much like that, but so, so much more. The name of this person in Joshua chapter 14 is a man named Caleb. Caleb is a very popular name, even nowadays. But when we look at this man, Caleb, what we see is a portrait of faithfulness. For example, and you see this description repeated many times over, even when we read the scriptures earlier. Joshua 14:8, I followed the Lord my God fully. You have followed the Lord my God fully. 14, he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. So in other words, it's not just Caleb talking about himself. God says the same thing about Caleb. Moses said the same thing about Caleb. And we can learn something from him. His long-term mindset, his long-term view of life, a portrait of faithfulness. Some Bible translations, instead of using the word fully, they say wholeheartedly. So the question to us this morning, as early as now, is what about us? Are we committed to follow the Lord our God fully? Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not part of the time, not when it's convenient, not when other people are looking, but fully, wholeheartedly, all the days of our life. The biblical words for faithful mean steadfast, dedicated, dependable, and worthy of trust. Does that describe you and me? Maybe it's time to think about that. Can God especially count on you, count on us, to obey Him consistently? Fidelity toward another person or toward God. That's why faithfulness is a big word when it comes to marriage. And you know what? By definition or by implication, faithfulness is for the long haul. For example, when you go to the altar, the man meets his bride at the altar and they exchange their vows. And then the man says, "I promise to be faithful to you." Is that good? Is that a good promise? Yeah. "I promise to be faithful to you. I can assure you, at least in the first 5 years, I will be faithful to you." Okay, Bayon? You know what the bride will say? She won't say anything. Wapak! Because by definition, faithfulness is really long-term. Now, what can we learn from Caleb today? Very simple. Our message for today, last week, was be on guard. This week is be faithful. Be faithful, be victorious. Doesn't mean that life will be perfect. It doesn't mean Caleb was perfect. But he just followed God. He loved Him. He had a relationship with Him. His highest priority was to give glory to God all the days of his life. We will learn from Caleb at least three things or three ways by which you and I can be faithful. Those three things are the following. Number one, live to please God. That should be our highest priority, our highest objective. Yes, we want to be a blessing to people. Of course we do. But in the end, we want to please God. Number two, live life to the max. Make the most of the life that God has given you. But of course, in the context of the first one, not to live to please ourselves, but to please God. Live life to the max. And number three is to live by God's promises. Now, you can think of other ways by which we can develop faithfulness, but these are the three things that we see in this short chapter and in the experience and the example of Caleb. So let's take a closer look at him. Then the sons of Judah. So apparently this was the tribe to which Caleb belonged. The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. You remember that place? Just before they attacked Jericho. In Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought word back to him as it was in my heart." Okay, we'll get to this in a moment. But as you can see in this last line, what it means is that Caleb was a man of integrity. Part of being a faithful person is being a person of integrity. We'll see that in a moment. But just backtrack to the earlier verses here. It says here, Caleb was the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were not originally Hebrews. They were part of the Canaanite people that you read way back in Genesis chapter 15. Now, we're not exactly sure, but obviously the Kenizzites found their way into Egypt. They were likewise enslaved. Perhaps they went to Egypt during the famine, just like the Genesis of the Israelite people did when they went to Egypt and met Joseph, and you know that whole story. But the point is, obviously, the Kenizzites and the Hebrews intermingled. They both left Egypt when God set them free. And this guy, Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, obviously married someone from the tribe of Judah. And that's how Caleb became a part of the tribe of Judah. It just shows us that whatever your background is, wherever you're from, whatever you've done, even your family history, Once you put your faith in God, you can be part of His family. Let's go on and see what more he says. Nevertheless, my brethren, and we'll get the details of this story later, who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. I pray that all of us will be faithful. We will follow the Lord our God fully. Now, let's have a flashback and see what exactly he was talking about. Let's go all the way back to Numbers. Numbers 13, this was obviously before, long before they entered the promised land. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader from among them. Now, so how many men was Moses going to send? One from each tribe. How many tribes? Okay, so how many spies? 12. Among the 12 were two men, particularly here, I'm mentioning them, from the tribe of Judah. Who? Caleb. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, otherwise known as Joshua, the son of Nun. And so when they came back, it says, thus they told him, the spies told Moses, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they had Exhibit A, and you can practically hear the people saying, wow. Nevertheless, oops, me cambio. What's that in English? Switching gears. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Who are the descendants of Anak? These are big people, giants, you know, and yes, there were certainly, we can't exactly explain how these giants came to be, but they're very clearly there in the Bible. I mean, you talk about Goliath, over 9 feet tall, for example. Anyway, so this was not exactly fake news, but it began to disturb the people. And you can again hear the people saying, changing from, oh, wow, from, ah, paano yan? And so Caleb does this. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. In other words, Caleb stood his ground. He stood his ground based on the promise and the character of God. He stood his ground because he wanted to please God, not people. He didn't want to go with the crowd. Unfortunately, the majority of the spies says they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in, spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. Now, wait a minute. That's no longer objective. How can you say the land devours its inhabitants? And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. That's not true. Not all of them were men of great size. Some of them were, but not all. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. Again, these huge people. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. How did you know that? Did you ask them how you looked in their sight? So this is now bola-bola na to. In other words, they really, in their hearts, did not want to obey God, and they infected the rest of the people. And this is a very important lesson in living to please God and not pleasing or going with the crowd. Folks, what was the painful consequence of this? And what was the blessing to Caleb, who followed the Lord his God fully? Well, this is what the Lord told Moses. Surely all the men, okay, not just the spies, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, including refusing to enter the land that God promised, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers. You know, you and I may not completely appreciate this, but think of the lost opportunity. It's just so painful and so sad. And it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." Folks, our first point, remember, is live to please God. Be faithful, be victorious. Step number one, live to please God. Tell the person next to you, live to please God. This is very important to me personally, because one of the character issues, one of the character flaws that I've had for many years, even as a Christian, and up to this day, the Lord continues to mold me, is the tendency to be a people pleaser. You've heard of that term? People pleaser. The Bible calls that the fear of man. And the Bible says, the fear of man in Proverbs 29, the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. It's one of those traps of the enemy. Your fear of, you know, standing up for the truth and just wanting to go with the crowd or just wanting to be quiet so that there's no tension, there's no conflict. But you know what the Bible says? The fear of man is a snare. You know what the remedy is? It also says what it is. Trust in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, we do not need to fear man. We fear God only. And that was the example of Caleb. He was not afraid of what the other people were already saying. And he wasn't afraid of, you know, being, I don't know if the word cancel existed at the time, but obviously he would have been canceled today. But he stood his ground, he was faithful, and he lived to please God. And you know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible about this whole issue of pleasing people and pleasing God, it's so clear. In Galatians 1:10, let's read this together. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ." In one of the companies where I worked as an executive, the division that God had entrusted to me was doing very, very well. But it came to a point where there was a change in top management, and not only locally but even regionally, they were having our companies pursue a certain strategy which was very clearly unethical. I will not share the details with you because they're not relevant. It's the principle that matters. And so there was greater and greater pressure on people like myself to begin adopting these unethical practices. But it was very clear in the industry where we work that those practices that were being, at first they were suggested, ultimately they were being demanded of people like myself. But God was teaching me, live to please God. Don't be afraid of men. Okay, so for as long as I could, now I didn't say, I'm going to leave the company. I wanted to stay. I loved the company where I worked, and I value the people I worked with. But I said, Lord, what shall I do? And at one point, I was called into my direct office's, my direct boss's office. And he told me, in so many words, either you get with the program, or you get out. Or we'll give you a desk job, stuck behind the desk, not knowing, you know, what tomorrow will bring. But I had children in school, a family to support, so I said, I'll take the offer. God taught me, no matter what you do, be faithful. Colossians chapter 3, in whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. So behind that desk, no longer responsible for, you know, a few hundred people that used to be under me, just by myself working with another person, God said, you be faithful, you live to please me. Like I said, I never made an effort to leave the company. But you know what? God had other plans. Before I knew it, there was an offer. And the offer, among other things, gave me 80% better salary. Is that amazing? Be faithful, be victorious. Live to please God. Let's go to our next point about being faithful. We said to be faithful, following Caleb's example, we live to please God. The second is we live life to the max. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as He spoke, these 45 years. So folks, Caleb was a faithful man. He was not, unlike Joshua, he was not chosen to lead the Israelites. So he just followed. But he followed his contemporary, Joshua, for 45 years. The Lord has let me live these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. Imagine Caleb walking through that wilderness along with all of those disobedient people who were slowly dying out over that time. And now, look at what he said. And now, behold, I am how old? 85 years old. Today. I'm not sure if he meant today, as in today's my birthday. But anyway, the point is, now I am 85 years old. And look at the blessing, 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. Wow. I'm sure I cannot say I'm as strong as I was when I was half my age. But for Caleb, this was part of God's blessing. We'll talk about this a little bit more. So my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. For war, obviously, he knew that he was in for a battle because he was going to expel the giants who were in that place he was asking for. But also for going out and coming in, which basically means everyday life. As I read through these passages, this is the reflection that I'd like to share with you. Number one, he said, the Lord has let me live these 45 years. What is the lesson? The lesson is, life is a gift. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Life is a gift. A pastor taught me many years ago, as soon as you open your eyes in the morning, you say, Lord, thank you, I'm still alive. The second thing we can learn from the example of Caleb, he says, as I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me, as my strength was then, so my strength is now. Life is a gift, and strength is a gift. Health is a gift. Now, you and I may not be given as many years as Caleb. You and I may not be given as much strength as Caleb. But whatever is the life God gives you and me, whatever is the measure of strength God gives to you and me, live it to the max for God's honor, glory, and pleasure. God told Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Whatever it is I give to you, that is sufficient for the moment. God told Paul, my strength is perfected in your weakness. Whatever it is that God gives us, we use it to the max. So again, I want to stress, the lesson here is not automatically if we are faithful, we will live a long, 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 long life. Oh, if God wills it, praise God. But it's not so much about the length of life, it's about what we do with it. How do we live life to the max? The Apostle Paul tells us, Ephesians 5, 15, 16, therefore, be careful how you walk. Again, walk means everyday living. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You can see the logic. It's very clear. He tells us to be careful. How do we be careful how we live? By making the most of your time. Why should we make the most of our time? Because the days are evil, full of deception. Be on guard. How can we make sure that we walk carefully and be wise? By understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the word understand means not just know it in the head, but with the intention of applying or obeying it. Folks, we need to learn to live life to the max. After my wife was diagnosed with cancer in 2003, God gave her a burden in her heart to reach out to people with cancer or to their family members or even people with other serious illnesses. And so they began a group and eventually, formed small groups. And one day she asked me, "What do you think is a nice name for this group?" And, I just said, "Call it Life to the Max." Because no matter how short or long life is, we need to maximize for the glory of God. My wife was also very active with the women's ministry, Women of Worth, or WOW, as it's more popularly known. And, of course, during the pandemic, just like all other ministries, they could not meet face-to-face. So she, along with the other ladies who would speak, would record messages on video for distribution to the members of that ministry. She recorded a video in our home, which was released March 25, 2021. March 25, 2021. In just over 2 weeks, she went to be with Jesus. The title of her talk, can you guess? The title of her talk was "Use Your Time Wisely." Folks, be faithful, be victorious. Number one, live to please God. Number two, live life to the max. And how do we understand what the will of the Lord is? This is the secret. This is God talking to you and to me, revealing His will. Are we good so far? How many of you want to be victorious in your life? But how many of you are willing to be faithful to the end? I hope it's the same number of hands. So our last point, live to please God, live life to the max, live by God's promise. Okay, where do we see that in the life of Caleb? By the way, before that, somebody said, "What is the biggest room in the world?" The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. You heard that before? The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. But if I ask you, what is the most difficult room to be in? I think one of the most difficult rooms to be in is this one, the waiting room. Would you agree? Waiting for God to answer your prayer. Waiting for God to fulfill a promise in your life. How many of you have been in the waiting room before? Or maybe you are in the waiting room now. It's not an easy place to be, but that's why we need to be faithful. Caleb was in the waiting room, how many years? 45 years. But look, Caleb's confidence. "Now then," he told Joshua, "give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim," by the way, that's not Skywalker for you Star Wars fans, okay? Anakim is plural for the sons of Anak, the big people, the giants. "You heard on that day Anakim were there with great fortified cities." So it was true. "Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." By the way, this phrase, "perhaps the Lord is with me," is not, I repeat, is not an expression of doubt. It is a Hebrew idiom. As a matter of fact, it means the complete opposite. It is a statement of confidence. "I know the Lord will be with me as He has spoken, and by His grace, I will drive them out." Because that was God's promise. And you know what? If you go one chapter after that, Caleb drove out from there three sons of Anak. Not one, but three. Sheshai, Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. It sounds funny, no? Tagalog. The children of Anak. Anyway, nung isilang ka sa mundong ito. Anyway, live by the promises of God. I want to tell you a little bit about this amazing missionary named Adoniram Judson. His story is a very long story. You can watch on YouTube documentaries about his life. But let me just summarize and explain to you why I find this man an example of living by God's promises, despite the odds or the situation. You see, at one point in his life, Adoniram Judson's wife died, their daughter died, and, you know, he suffered because of it. He became reclusive. He lived in a small hut in an isolated place. He dug his own grave. He was thinking of taking his own life. But you know, by the mercy of God, God pulled him out of that darkness. He gave him a vision for reaching Burma for Jesus. And just to make the long story short, his legacy is quite amazing. He compiled the first Burmese English dictionary. Every dictionary written in Burma in the last 200 years have been based on the ones originally created by him. He translated the entire Bible into the Burmese language by the year 1840. But here's the thing, even up to this day, his translation work continues to bear fruit for the gospel in Myanmar. God is amazing. Because, you want to give the Lord a clap? Folks, our faithfulness is only a reflection of God's faithfulness. Our faithfulness to God is just a reflection of God's ultimate faithfulness to us. And you know what I like about Adoniram Judson? Probably his most famous quote is this, and you can memorize this: the future is as bright as the promises of God. Hallelujah. We may not have the strength of Caleb, but we have the strength to give glory to God through a clap offering. Amen? And that's what he truly deserves. Now, let's end. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because, what a nice ending, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. In other words, even the top guy, Arba, the top banana of the Anakim, no more, because that became Caleb's land by the grace of God. Be faithful, be victorious. Lord, if there's anyone here who has not even taken that first step to living a faithful life, I pray that you will speak to that person. And if you, my friend, online, here in the auditorium, if you know you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, know that it is His faithfulness that has brought you here today. And before you follow in His footprints, you need to know that His hands have nail prints and His feet likewise, because He died on that cruel cross for you to pay for all of your sin. And I pray that today you will take that first step of a faithful life by embracing as your Lord and Savior the one who was faithful to go to the cross and pay the penalty for all your sin. Will you pray to Him something like this? Lord Jesus, Your earthly life was brief, but it was faithful. And You were faithful to Your mission for my sake, that my sins would be paid for by Your death and by Your victory in Your resurrection. And so, Lord Jesus, today, I give You my life. I believe in You and You alone as my Lord and Savior. And as the only one who can give me the strength day by day to live a life that is faithful in return to you for all you've done for me. So, Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing on all of us right now, that indeed not only those who come behind us will find us faithful, but you will find us faithful, so that when we meet you face to face, your words to us will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In your name and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless us all.